Welcome to The Good Goddess Show, a weekly podcast for women who are fed up, are feeling bloated and tired. I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist and all-around health geek. Let's dive in to the show. In today's episode of The Gut Goddess Show, we are talking about how you can have healthy poo. I'm going to be diving into your poop or crap or feces or dump, whatever you want to call it. And I'm going to be sharing with you a kind of a blueprint for having healthier poops. So maybe at the moment you feel like your poops are pretty healthy, then this might just help you to make it even better. But I know for a bunch of you listening, you'll be struggling with being a bit constipated or having kind of loose, runny stools, or you're swinging between both, or actually just going to the toilet is a bit of a drama for you because it's something that comes up so often with my clients and with people that I'm working with. And actually, it can be, it can sometimes be quite a simple thing to deal with. So that's what I'm going to be giving you today. I'm going to be sharing with you kind of like a three-part blueprint of how you can have a healthy poop. And this is a great thing to focus on, whether you feel like you have healthy bowel movements or whether you feel like you don't and you just kind of want to make them a bit better, because having regular, healthy bowel movements is such an important foundation for your hormonal health, your mental health, for your detoxification, for your skin, for so many aspects of your body. And actually, if you can have regular healthy poops, you've done a tick in the box of kind of healthy foundation in my book. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Otherwise, before we dive on in, if you want a bit of a life update, then you make sure you listen to last week's podcast episode, because I'm just going to dive straight on in. Quick reminder, if you want to work with me privately in my exclusive 3 to 4 month program, where we work closely together over 3 or 4 months, we run labs, we create a really bespoke and personalized program that helps you to see the results that you want to see in your body quicker than you could imagine, then just to let you know that I will stop taking new clients in October for that. That will be my cutoff point. So if you're interested in working with me, make sure you head to keziahall.com, click the Work With Me page, find out more options. I have introduced a new installment plan to make it more affordable, if that makes it easier for you, but I would love to chat with you in person. I've got a couple of spaces, a couple of people have just signed up in the last week. But between now and October, I probably have the space for about 3, maybe 2, depending on, I'm waiting on an email basically, 2 or 3 spaces for new people. So if you're interested, find out more, book a call with me, and it doesn't commit you to anything. I'd just love to chat with you, find out more, and see what kind of program you need in order to feel better and get your life back. Okay, let's get on with today's show. So today is all about healthy poop, and it's one of my favorite topics to talk about. I know some people are super squeamish and weird about poo. I am not. I'm a bit like, what? We all poo. Like, we all know this about each other, but it's somehow a weird taboo subject, taboo poo. But anyway, I just find that all a bit odd. Like, everyone in the world poops. Like, Mother Teresa poops, Beyonce poops, Jesus pooped, you know, all these great figures pooped and still poo. So that's what I want to talk about today, and it's top of mind for me today because I actually have had some issues with being really constipated these last 3 or 4 weeks due to this pregnancy. I'm currently pregnant with twins, just entered the second trimester, and also due to some severe sickness, I've also been on several types of medications, and both the medications that I take, the side effect is constipation. So pregnancy and medication has meant I have experienced, probably for the first time in my life, bad constipation these last couple of weeks. So that's why it's front of mind to me. Thankfully, it's eased off now. I kind of did basically everything that I'm about to tell you, and it's all fine and dandy. Also got some chat to the doctor about it, because it was my bowels historically have been horrendous. My kind of bowel history is more on the diarrhea end of things. I would be going for a bowel movement maybe 6, 7, 8 times a day, and kind of had chronic diarrhea for a really, really long time. And that's kind of one of the main things that's got me started on this whole health journey. What's this, like 12, 15 years ago? Because I was just so embarrassed, and having diarrhea all the time was just really impacting my life. It was impacting going out. I was scared to leave the house. I feel like everywhere I went, I had to plan where the nearest toilet was. It made me really anxious. It made me feel really ashamed and really horrible about myself. Like, I was a young 20-year-old, 19-year-old who was still like crapping my pants. And it just doesn't help with your body confidence and general confidence. And so that was one of the key things that got me started into this journey. And over the years, I learned how to really support my gut and my bowels, and I've had great bowel movements for years and years now, and it's still something I don't take for granted. I have normally 2 healthy bowel movements a day. This was kind of pre-pregnancy, and that would be great. No drama, no, just, oh, need the toilet, go to the toilet, finish the toilet, wash my hands, done. No drama poos, not feeling anxious about it at all. And that, honestly, is such a joy. So you might be listening to this, and maybe you you think you have healthy bowel movements. Well, this podcast might help them to be even better, because they can always improve. Or maybe you listen to this and you know that you struggle with constipation or looser stools, or you just switch in between. And there's just you just know your toilets and your bowels, either from the smell or the time or the texture or whatever it is, or the form that they have, that it's not all that healthy. So let's first talk about why your poo matters and what actually is a healthy bowel movement. So your poo is really important. Having a healthy bowel movements regularly is a really foundational aspect of your health. So for women, which is generally who I think mostly listens to this podcast, I would say if you want to just really simplify a couple of foundations around your health, I would say your bowel movements and your periods. Those, if you can get those to be really healthy, without lots of pain, without discomfort, without drama, without mood swings, without all of the drama and discomfort can come with both bowel movements and the menstrual cycle, your period, then actually that is a really solid foundation for your entire health. Really, really is. So your bowel movements for all humans is really important, whether you are a 6-month-old baby or a 90-year-old granny. Having healthy bowel movements is a foundation, a really important foundational piece of the rest of your health. Why? Because if you think about when you're pooping out, essentially your body is wanting to get rid of toxins and eliminate lots of these different things that the body doesn't want to keep in the body anymore. It's stuff that it wants to get rid of because it deems it toxic or unhelpful, or it's kind of used up, if that makes sense. A lot of the time, hormones, I see a lot of people who are really constipated and have really out of balance hormones, because part of how we get rid almost of old hormones is by taking them to the liver, putting them through the different phases of detoxification, and then essentially pooping them out in the stool. That's a really simplified version of it, but it's really important. If you aren't having healthy bowel movements, it can affect your mental health, your anxiety, your mood. It can affect your sleep. It can affect your ability to lose weight. It can affect your hormonal status, can affect your confidence, obviously, and so many other things. So what is a healthy bowel movement? Well, in my practice and from my research and understanding and my teaching, I would say a healthy bowel movement is going for a healthy bowel movement, I've said that twice, once a day as a minimum. You want to go for a poop 1 time a day at least. Ideally, maybe 2 times a day, or even 3 healthy, well-formed bowel movements can be healthy for some people, especially if they eat a bit more, or they're maybe a bigger build, or maybe if you're detoxing, those kinds of things. Sometimes three can not be out of the ordinary. So you've got frequency. That's something that matters with healthy bowel movement, but also the form and texture of your actual stool itself matters as well. So there's something called the Bristol stool chart, which you can Google. I'll put it in the resources. And on that stool chart, you're really looking for, I think, what's like a three or four, like right in the middle. So you want it to have some form. You don't want it to be pellet-like. You want it to be some form to it. And ideally, as one client called it, she used to call, when we did loads of work on her gut health, because it was a disaster. And then she like emailed me one day and was so excited because she told me she did a one wipe wonder. You know, it's a bowel movement that's not really mucousy or really loose and needs millions and millions and millions and millions of toilet roll. It's kind of a well-formed, easy to pass bowel movement where once you finish the bowel movement, you feel done. You're not sitting there being like, I think there's more in there, but it's not coming out. That's a healthy bowel movement. When you, it's easy to come out the body. It has a good kind of like a log-like form or texture to it. Again, three or four on the Bristol stool chart. And it feels like once you've done it, you've got that very satisfying feeling of being like, I'm done. And the body feels good. You wipe, you wash your hands, you move on with your day. You're not sitting there for 20 minutes breathing and panting out your poop like you're in labor. You're not having this massive explosion kind of when you sit on the toilet of just lots and lots of fluid. It's a healthy bowel movement. It's both the texture, the experience of going to the toilet, and also the frequency. And I love to see clients have at least one bowel movement a day as a minimum, ideally two, especially if you're working on your hormones and healing the body. Okay, so that is what's important, that we first clarify what is healthy, because most of the time there isn't a definitive answer. Here in the UK, we have the NHS, and they would probably say, you know, if you're not going for a bowel movement within 1 in 3 days, they would count that as constipated, and aren't too bothered. You know, they would count constipation more as you're not going to toilet for every 3 days or every 5 days. I have a much smaller window where really, if you're going for a bowel movement every other day, I would put that in constipation. And also, I know for lots of people, they swing between the two, and it might depend on what time of your cycle you're in. You know, maybe before your period, you have really loose stools, and then around ovulation, you might get really constipated. So it is also normal to swing between the two. Okay, so that's what a healthy bowel movement is like. The next thing is, then what do we do? So I'm going to dive in to share with you a little bit of the blueprint of what you can actually do about this. This is stuff I've done on my body. I do it with clients. This is a kind of a rough blueprint for you to follow. So the first thing you want to look at when it comes to an unhealthy bowel movement is simply ask the question, why? Why is my bowels and my poo unhealthy? Why have I got toilet drama going on? Why? So if you've been to the doctor, which I do recommend, any change in any bowel habit or in your bowel movements in any way, you should always get that checked out by your GP or your primary care provider. Don't just self-diagnose this stuff, but I'm going to assume that you've been really sensible. You've had things checked out by your doctor. They've said everything is normal, and then maybe just told you to drink more water, or maybe they've offered you maybe laxatives or some other kind of IBS medication, and you might have had the diagnosis of irritable bowel syndrome, which is just kind of a catch-all diagnosis for a bunch of symptoms that doctors don't really know all that much about, but other than the fact that it's not life-threatening. So what I do as a holistic nutritionist is ask why. Why are your bowels either loose, or are you struggling with constipation? And what I'm going to share with you is all the different reasons that I see really commonly in my practice for why that can be. So if you Google this, which I'm sure you have, if you struggled with constipation or you've struggled with diarrhea, you'll probably have gotten the general answers of, especially with constipation, drinking more water and having more fiber, especially. And the same often with diarrhea as well, because they encourage you to have more fiber to like bulk out your stool. So they might tell you to eat more kind of bulking type fibrous foods. That's the general advice out there. Now, that isn't necessarily terrible advice, but it's not very extensive. So I'm just going to go through really quickly some of the reasons that I see most commonly when working with clients for why they're having toilet drama, essentially. So the first thing can be food intolerances. I talk about this a lot in the podcast, so I'll not spend ages on it. I've got lots of things, lots of resources about gluten and dairy and all this kind of stuff. So But food intolerances, if you are eating a food that just doesn't get on with your system, then it can really impact your bowels. So a common thing that I see is people with looser stools or more diarrhea, I'm more on the diarrhea looser side of the spectrum, is often dairy can be a real problem, or sometimes gluten as well. More often I'd say it's dairy, and there's a little bit of research around that. Again, everyone is different. It might be another food like eggs or nuts or coffee for you. But that's something I see often. And with the constipation side of things, I tend to find that people, it's more gluten that can be an issue. But again, this can be any food intolerance. I would also say if you're struggling with your bowels in any way, coffee is probably something you want to remove for a while and just see, because I know when I had diarrhea, coffee was a disaster for me. And for most clients I work with that have that looser side of things, coffee can just be really irritating to the gut. And also same from the constipation side. So the first thing you really got to look at is looking at food intolerances. Now, what you want to do with that is run some experiments and just figure out, and you probably already know now, you know, every time I go out and have like a cheese fondue or that baked camembert, I always am running to the toilet. Like, you probably already have an inkling. Or if I go and have a latte, all that milk sometimes makes you feel a bit weird. Or actually, you know what? If I just eat a ton of fresh bread from the bakery, I'll not go to the toilet for several days. You probably already know. And again, it might not be dairy or gluten. It could be things like eggs, nuts, onions, tons of different things out there. But that's the first thing that I see. And often it's one of the first things I address with my client. And why I create the Flourish Academy, which is my online program that really helps you to get to grips with figuring out any food intolerances that are getting in the way of you feeling good. So that's the first thing. The next thing for why your bowels might be all over the place or not happening at all is dysbiosis. So dysbiosis is just a fancy word for kind of bad bacteria being overgrown within your gut. So I often test with clients via stool tests to get a good picture of what's going on within their microbiome. But I often see bacterial overgrowth happening within people's large intestines or small intestine through running labs and running different tests. And this can play a really big role. If you have certain bacterial overgrowth, it can really disrupt both the pH and the function of your gut, and that can either slow down and make your gut functioning and movement very slow and sluggish, or it can do the opposite where it makes it you just have very loose stools, so like your movement where your gut is essentially not absorbing food, it's just getting rid of it because it feels a bit panicked essentially. So dysbiosis is a common thing. Just had some test results back for a client yesterday who had really low of good bacteria and really high of some of the more pathogenic bacteria. And that's something you've got to address. So that's especially if you've had issues with your bowels for a long time, I do tend to put money on that there's some sort of dysbiosis going on. And in my practice, we tend to ideally run some lab tests to find out more accurate information. But second thing, and an extension of that would also be small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. Again, this is a bit of a dysbiosis. It can also be small intestinal fungal overgrowth. This is more within the small intestine. And this is mainly linked, I see this most in people that are chronically bloated and chronically constipated. Where they're just bloated all the time, really constipated, don't really know why, then SIBO can be an issue. And again, I've done an episode on SIBO, so I'll put that in the show notes because that's quite a common thing, especially if you have an IBS diagnosis, constipated a long time, bloated a long time, you've done the whole food intolerance thing and it's made no difference to you. It might be that you have a bit more of a systemic imbalance going on within your small intestine. Okay, another reason that I see, not as often with clients, but it does come up, is parasites. So maybe you traveled the world, maybe you lived in a different part of the country, or even just have close contact with animals, then parasites can sometimes be a contributing factor to poor and unhealthy bowel movements. I see this most commonly more when people have more that diarrhea side of things. And it often comes quite cyclically. If it's parasites, you know, you'll be fine for a while, then you have awful bouts of diarrhea, and then you're fine for a while, and then you have awful bouts, and it's kind of on the cycle. So parasites can be an issue. Also, just some of the bog standard things, like I mentioned at the start, you're not drinking enough water, so you're dehydrated, and you're not eating enough fiber and vegetables. That is, you know, that's simple advice. But if you're eating a crap diet, essentially, of lots, and what I mean by crap is not morally, it doesn't mean you're morally bad for picking these foods. The food is just food. But when, what I mean by crap is when we're looking at the nutrient density and the wholeness of the food. So if you're eating a very processed diet of lots of takeaway food, packaged foods, processed foods, actually, those are just harder work for your body. And you don't get as much goodness from that. So if your diet is not full of whole foods, real foods, making food from scratch, you're not drinking enough water, you're not eating enough vegetables, that plays a huge role. And that can sometimes be enough for people. They just start drinking water. Like, I've had clients that just stopped having coffee, drank more water, ate more vegetables, and they're like, oh my goodness, my bowels are so much different. So that can be an option for some people. I'd say maybe 40% of the people listening to this, that might be all that you need to do. But for 60% of you, there will be these deeper imbalances, dysbiosis, infections, food intolerance things going on as well. So that's one thing that can happen. Another thing I see often is trauma as well. I've had a couple of clients, and this was the case with me, that there's been toilet drama from a young age, and it can actually make your, and train your nervous system to just be stressed out about going to the toilet. It's just, it's almost because you've had so many issues with your bowels from teenager or childhood, then you end up just feeling almost scared to go to the toilet, and your nervous system has learned that going to the toilet isn't safe, and that can put a lot of pressure and be really difficult for you to create healthy bowel movements, because it's actually a kind of, you've associated pain, stress, discomfort, fear, shame with going to the toilet. And I've actually, as odd as it sounds, I've actually had to work with a lot of clients, not just on the nutrition and gut health side of things, but also on training their nervous system to associate going to the toilet with calmness, peace, rest, and love. And that does take quite a bit of retraining if you have quite a history of a lot of toilet drama, which I certainly did. Another thing that can be an issue, especially, this is maybe more so, I see it most commonly in my clients with the constipated side of things, but it can also apply with your looser, more diarrhea side of things as well. And this is thyroid issues. Maybe you've had super healthy bowel movements and all of a sudden you're just finding that you're really constipated, or you're finding that all of a sudden you're having really loose stools all the time, and it's never been your experience before. It can sometimes be linked to how your thyroid is. If your thyroid suddenly becomes overactive, so hyperthyroid, then your that kind of can speed up everything in the body, and so that's when you can get more looser stools. And if you get hypo, where your thyroid becomes more sluggish and slow, everything slows down, including your gut motility and your bowel movements, and everything can just feel a bit sluggish, depressed, and kind of slow. So that is a common thing as well, that I see, which is again why I think probably stool tests and thyroid tests are some of the most common tests that I run with my clients across the board. So those can all be just some of the reasons why. Again, these are all based on me assuming that you've been to the doctor, you've had things checked out in terms of any changes to your bowel habits or your bowel or texture or frequency, and that's all come back clear. Here are some things that I do within my holistic nutrition practice that come up most commonly. It's not an extensive or exclusive list, but these are things that come up time again when I get emailed test results, when I am working with clients on their health history. It's this stuff that comes up. So that is a little bit of step one. Step one of this blueprint to healthy bowel movements is you've got to figure out why. Really important, because I can sit here and be like, oh, you know, it's all because you have dysbiosis, but you might not. We might run a stool test on you and your gut's actually fine. You just have some food intolerances and you're not eating enough fiber, or your nervous system's so stressed out that you're not having that correct gut signaling and that healthy motility within your gut. So it's really important that you find out why. Okay, so part two is that you experiment and test. So based on what I've talked about before, you might be like, okay, Kezia, I'm ready. I'll come work with you. We'll run some lab tests. We'll run some food experiments and do it that way. But you might be like, no, Kezia, I'm not ready to work with you. So you might actually just run some of your own experiments. Ditch coffee for 2 weeks. Track how your bowel movements. You might try and add in, do that for 2 weeks. And then the next 2 weeks, you try and add in an extra portion of vegetables for 2 weeks in a day. See how you feel. And then you might already suspect, okay, you know, I think dairy isn't doing me good. So you completely eliminate dairy for 30 days and keep track of your bowel habits. See, do they improve if I don't eat dairy? Do they improve if I don't eat eggs or gluten or wheat? Do they improve when I don't eat onion and garlic, high FODMAP foods? Do they improve when I don't eat high fat, like, you know, trans fat things like chips and takeaways and those kinds of things? Run some experiments on yourself, and you can do this. You can pay for private lab tests, and that's what I do with clients, but you can also gather really useful and really important information on your own by just getting curious, running some experiments, and seeing and keeping track of how you feel. It's a really powerful thing to do, and we often underrate it, but no matter where you are, no matter what your budget is, you can make choices and you can make powerful changes and run these experiments. And I do encourage you to treat them like fun experiments. Just, you know, you're not going to have coffee for 2 weeks. You're not saying you're never going to have coffee again, or you're never going to have milk again. Just be curious. Just approach it with a little bit of, you know, geeky, sciencey, ooh, what's going to happen? That kind of thing. And see how you feel. Okay. So experiment and test. And if in doubt, it's my step three of this blueprint is my if in doubt plan. If you're like, Kezia, I have no idea where to start. Like you mentioned all these things. It could be SIBO, it could be a parasite, it could be trauma, it could be food intolerance. What do I even do? Well, here's my kind of go-to if in doubt plan to follow. First thing, look at food intolerances. You might already suspect certain foods that irritate your bowels. It might be coffee, milk, it might be takeaway food, it might be cheese, cream, it might be bread, pasta, whatever it is. First of all, look at food intolerances. Pick one food and remove it for ideally 4 weeks, but if you can't manage that, 2 weeks is fine. And see if you notice any improvement in your bowels. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to see night and day difference. I want you to mark any improvement, any tiny improvement. Now, the biggest way that people trip themselves up is go, well, I ditched gluten for 2 weeks and I'm not miraculously better, so it's not working. No, I want you to maybe ditch gluten for 2 weeks and see if there is a tiny improvement, you're on the right track, and keep on going. Keep gluten out of your diet for maybe another 4 weeks and check in. Most of the times people's expectations are, if I ditch dairy, it'll be a miracle fix for everything in my life. It won't. I can tell you that right now. But it might help a little bit. And it's really unusual that you will do one thing, do one dietary habit, add one supplement, one exercise that is going to miraculously change and take you from night to day when it comes to your health. The actual way that you transform your health is by making little tweaks, figuring out, running experiments, learning about your body, listening to your body, and tweaking accordingly. Okay, so that's the first thing in my if in doubt plan, part three. Deal with food intolerances. Next thing, deal with sugar, because if you have SIBO or a parasite or dysbiosis, excess refined sugar is going to be feeding and fueling that pathogenic, that bad bacterial overgrowth. So you don't need to run a lab test to know if you have dysbiosis or know if you have a parasite, whatever, but I can tell you now, sugar isn't going to be helping if you do, if that makes sense. And it's not going to help with anything else. So again, deal with food intolerances first, then look at your refined sugar intake and just assess with that. I have a natural sweetener guide on my website, my Flourish Academy, which is my 4-week online program that helps you with coming off the sugar. I have tons of recipes and meal plans and shopping lists within there. So if you need more guidance, you can do that, and I'll link to that in the show notes. But number two, sugar. Okay, the next thing you want to focus on is making sure you're hydrated. And again, if you've been severely constipated, then you'll have tried this. But for some of you, you won't be drinking enough water. And especially if you have the looser side of stools, you want to make sure that you are really doing a good job at replacing your electrolytes. But do make sure you're eating and drinking enough water. And I really recommend you start waking up in the morning and the first thing that you do is to drink water with lemon in. Because that can sometimes be enough to really help kickstart healthy bowel movements, especially if you're more constipated. The next thing is to really assess your vegetable intake. Most of us could be eating more vegetables. Let's be real. Like, we think of 5 portions of fruit and veg a day, and most of the time people would much rather eat fruit, so they're probably eating 2 or 3 portions of fruit and 2 portions of veg. You actually want to be having a minimum of 5 portions of veg a day. Now, there is a caveat to this. Some of you, if you have more dysbiosis going on and there's more kind of systemic infections or imbalances going on with your gut, you might not be able to tolerate more vegetables and more fiber. Actually, having more salads and smoothies might make your symptoms worse. So I'm just putting that out there. But for those of you that don't have as much going on in your gut health, then it's worth checking in with how much vegetables you are eating. If in doubt, eat more. Just add like a side salad with dinner, make a smoothie as a snack. So you put in some more spinach, have a green juice without fruit in it, whatever it is. Okay, so if in doubt, add more veg, but with the caveat that if your digestive symptoms are more chronic and there's just bigger things going on, actually that might not be the right thing for you. I often tell clients with more digestive issues to stop eating raw vegetables altogether. Just only eat well-cooked vegetables because there's just so much going on in their gut, so it needs to be a bit kinder. Another thing that you can do in terms of my step 3 if in doubt plan, so we talked about food intolerances, sugar, water, veg. The next thing would be to add in some fermented foods. So things like sauerkraut is a favorite of mine. You might have kefir, you can have coconut kefir, water kefir, you might do kimchi, you might do some kombucha. Like, introduce some fermented food. Sauerkraut is my absolute favorite in terms of its more medicinal effect on the body. And it also doesn't have any dairy, it doesn't have any, you know, caffeine, any sugar, anything like that. But introduce some fermented food and that could really help because you're again getting a bit of that probiotic goodness. Again, a caveat to that, if you have a certain type of dysbiosis that means you have quite a lot of histamine producing bacteria in your gut, you'll probably feel worse on fermented foods. So that's the caveat for that. That's why step 1 of this blueprint is figuring out why, because everyone's different. You might have, I have a client at the moment, her stool test came back and she has an overgrowth of a bacteria that's really histamine producing. So actually fermented foods for her aren't a good idea. But in general, it's worth, again, experimenting with. Because for a lot of people, I've known people that have just dealt with food intolerances and introduced maybe some kefir or sauerkraut. And that has been enough to sort out their bowels and the gut. And they have been singing after that, basically. So that is my if in doubt plan. Okay, so just to recap as this kind of blueprint for having healthy bowel movements is 1, you need to find out why. Why are your bowels all over the place? Why is there toilet drama? Why are you constipated? Why do you have loose stools? Why do you swing from one to the other? Because it's my opinion that an IBS diagnosis is useless. That doesn't actually tell you anything. It doesn't tell you why. That doesn't really mean anything. You don't know anymore with that diagnosis. It's helpful to get and to check other things out, but it doesn't tell you why at all. So you need to figure out why. 2 is then to experiment and test. You can do this formally with lab tests. You can do this on your own with self-experiments and by getting curious, but experiment and test. And 3, I shared with you my if in doubt plan. If you're like, I have no idea where to begin, Kezia, I'm totally overwhelmed, then I've laid out a step plan that you can follow step by step, and you can do it in any order that I recommended. So that is my blueprint for healthy bowel movements, because I can tell you, if you can have healthy, drama-free bowel movements once or twice a day, that is such an important foundation. There's no point in you spending loads of money on fancy supplements or loads of money on expensive skincare to sort out your acne or your eczema if you're actually sitting there constipated. The first thing you want to do is get your bowels moving. and then look at fancy skincare or fancy supplements or treatments or whatever it is. You want to have your healthy bowel movements. And also worth saying, like me recently, that if you are on certain medications, a lot of medications, the side effect is constipation. So that is worth knowing about, and always make sure you read the little leaflet you get with your medications, even if you've been taking them for years, because it could be actually that some of your bowel issues are due to the medications that you're having. And that's just a really useful bit of information to know. Okay. So I hope that has been helpful. I'm going to be cheering you on having healthy bowel movements. It's something that I love to talk about. It's one of the things that if we're looking for like the biggest bang for your buck, this is one of the areas. If you can get this healthy, well, regular, all of the things that I've talked about, then actually it's the impact it can have on your life and your ongoing health and present health is really huge. So as always, if you have any questions, you can head over to my Instagram, or which is Supernaturally Healthy, or you can go into Facebook and join my group. If you're not in my Facebook group, I'm going to be back in there doing some more workshops, and I've got some exciting things coming for you in the coming months ahead. So, sending you lots of love. Thank you for joining me. I really appreciate your time, and I really value you being here, and I'll see you next week. Bye.